Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
I think everybody's very concerned about what happens with medication abortion, but this case is about, can the FDA make science-based decisions and have those stand without interference?
Mara Gandel Powers with the National Women's Law Center is worried about what the recent legal battle over the abortion pill mifepristone could mean for other FDA-approved drugs. Critics have tried to ban mifepristone despite its FDA approval 23 years ago. The U.S. Supreme Court blocked a Texas judge's decision to suspend the drug's use, but the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals will hear arguments next month. But Gandel Powers is confident this fight will end up back at the Supreme Court, which overturned Roe v. Wade. For the time being, Maine's medical community is overjoyed by the High Court's decision to preserve access to the drug. Maine Governor Janet Mills is considering stockpiling it just in case. Eric Steele, president of the Maine Medical Association, says most physicians think the decision to end a pregnancy needs to be made in a doctor's office, not in a courtroom.
If they simply outlaw the medication, women will find another way around it to make their own decisions about their pregnancies.
Several groups in Illinois are advocating for legislation that would restore voting rights, including for people who are incarcerated. Illinois could be the first state to approve such a law. A poll from Stand Up America shows about 60% of Illinois voters support this effort, guaranteeing the right to vote for all citizens age 18 and older. Katrina Fid, with Chicago Votes, supports voting rights restoration because she says democracy works better when more people are involved. She notes the dehumanization of the prison population complicates issues like this, adding, people aren't really aware of who is in Illinois state prisons.
We also know that this is a racial issue, too. 55% of people in Illinois prisons are Black, even though Black people make up less than 15% of the overall state population. Disenfranchisement and that silencing, it has long-term consequences.
A recent report finds the Ohio River is the second most endangered in the nation, the first being the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon. The report by the group American Rivers finds the Ohio River is falling victim to discharges of mercury, dioxins, and forever chemicals also known as PFAS, along with pollutants from manufacturing as threats to human and environmental health. Heather Sprouse with the West Virginia Rivers Coalition says the February derailment of a Norfolk Southern train in East Palestine, Ohio, placed the spotlight on the need for long-term river monitoring and on improving the health of the Ohio River.
While there's a number of waters that receive significant and sustained federal funding, right now the Ohio River doesn't receive any. And so the goal is to change that.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.